Some of us are not only worn out, but maybe even physically ill from wearing a necklace made of the horrible four. Guilt, blame, anger, and fear. There are no pills and drug therapies to actually solve any of that. They may knock off the sharp, cutting edges of the horrible four, but it doesn't mean the root problem has been resolved. A medical doctor may attempt to give a diagnosis and their prescribed pills, but in the end, all things remain the same. Drugs don't resolve it. Did you know that approximately 40 people every day die from taking prescription pain and/or psychotropic medications? And how different are the crash symptoms from quitting the use of prescription meds as compared to suffering from guilt, blame, anger, and fear? The horrible four are powerful and may very well be even more powerful than prescription medication. When the horrible four have a firm grip on our soul, they can represent as sleep disturbances like alternating between insomnia and sleeping too much, eating too much or too little, anxiety and irritability, panic attacks, fatigue. We often just can't seem to feel happy because of the invasion of depression and even suicidal thoughts. Interestingly, those are the same crash symptoms when someone stops taking psychotropic medication. You may think I'm kidding around some, but absolutely not. I'd like us all to seriously consider to think carefully and ask the Lord to help us start living a life which produces good fruit to be more effective and stop the wheel spinning caused by the horrible four. I've never done much research until the last few weeks into understanding a particular character from 2 Samuel 9, whose name was Mephibosheth.
Mephibosheth.
What an amazing example of guilt, blame, fear, and maybe even the anger of frustration this fellow represented. I mean, the attitude the man had towards himself was so destructive. Not only did Mephibosheth suffer from poverty of spirit and soul, but he also lived in Lo-debar.
Lo-debar.
A sad, poverty-stricken place with a name which meant no pasture, no word, or no communication. Just a nothing sort of place which went nowhere and did nothing. Probably a very frustrating place to live, I'd guess. I bet that if Mephibosheth lived in these modern days, some doctors would recommend he take psychotropic medication to deal with his guilt, blame, and fear. Not solve the problems, but suppress the problems. Oh, and be sure to make an appointment for next week so we can monitor how you're doing. Yet, nothing would actually be resolved. The chapter opens with David asking if there was anyone left around to whom he could show kindness, the extended hands of grace and unfailing mercy of God, to for Jonathan's sake. It is evident that David wasn't doing kindness for Mephibosheth because he deserved it. And in the same sense, the Lord is kind and gracious to us, not because we deserve it, but for the sake of Jesus. It is because of Jesus we have favor and blessing, not because we are so worthy, not because we went and got it because of our personal merits, but for the sake of Jesus, the Lord extends us abundant life. He ardently practices forbearance towards us, meaning he allows us all to continue to live that we might repent. His kindness leads us to repentance for the sake of Jesus. And in a prophetic gesture, David was extending kindness and grace to Mephibosheth, like Jesus would extend kindness and grace to all mankind.
Mephibosheth.
David's servant told him there was the one son of Saul around, but he was crippled in his feet. In other words, Mephibosheth didn't have it all together. He had problems more than just his attitude. I think the young man could have asserted himself and claimed his right as a son of Jonathan, but instead, he just camped out in Lodebar, and the spirit of Eeyore lived with him day and night. Incredibly, when Mephibosheth came into the king's chambers, he fell on his face saying, "I am returning to you all the properties of your grandfather Saul. Furthermore, from now on, you'll take all your meals at my table." The young man's attitude spoke volumes. In verse 8, Mephibosheth's words speak loudly. He said, "What is your servant that you should show regard for a dead dog such as I?" God is extending us all salvation and redemption. Yet, like Mephibosheth, we have a "I'm no better than a dead dog" attitude toward ourselves. Why? Where'd that come from?